Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, today we are going to be talking about a question I'm sure a lot of PTs, either old fogies like us, God, what, 15 years practicing, both of us?
So old.
And younger PTs, and honestly, even PTs who've been doing it for 30 years, they're probably asking the question, man, when I meet a new grad or when I meet someone who is a student, there is this insurance equals bad, right? And it equals a mill. And it's a very catchy title for a podcast, but we're going to break this down in depth because I think it's really kind of important to understand where an 18-year-old might be coming from, right, and thinking this, how they might have got this opinion, and then also how people who maybe have lived working with insurance models, owning insurance clinics, you know, what they hear, what they see, what their motivations are, all the stuff that kind of comes down to insurance equals mill. Right. So today we're going to talk about that. Just for reference, again, in the intro, you hear a little bit about it, but Brian's clinics take insurance. He has six clinics across the tri-state area. And I'm a cash only physical therapist. I go to people's homes. I have a little spot in a gym, you know, the typical, like what you see, what you think about when you hear about it. Now, Brian started that way and then made a pivot to insurance. But just for context for anybody listening to this, that, you know, what we see on a daily basis. And then of course, what I always need to say is I spent 13 years running insurance based, like 98% insurance based clinics. So, we have a unique perspective on this than maybe someone who just got out. So, Brian, the first thing I want to ask your opinion on is I know that you, you do a lot of work with schools, trying to recruit new grads, trying to get your face out there in the local community and local colleges. And I know you have kind of interesting discussions about, you know, your place. Oh, you do one-on-one. Cause if, again, for reference, you do 40 minute one-on-one, but you take insurance. So you take a little bit of a hit on the per patient, but that way you keep the one-on-one.
Yeah, exactly.
So kind of tell me about that. Cause I know you were talking to me about a conference that you went to, I think.
Yeah, so I was at a career day. So I was at a career day for a university, and the way this conversation sort of started and how I kind of brought this up was, what was staggering to me that I just found very funny was, you know, people are all coming up in different capacities: healthcare students, physical therapy students, PA students, all sorts of different people, and then some faculty. And you know, the number one thing that came up as a question from basically healthcare, physical therapy, any of those types of people is, hey, do you guys have any like positions for a PT aide? Like, can we come in basically like take people through exercise slash like, you know, do stuff with, you know, again, folding towels, cleaning tables, et cetera, that position for, so not a PT assistant, not a physical therapy, but a PT aide. Right. And I just found that fascinating because we don't have PT aides. I mean, we have no need for them. We're one-on-one for 40-minute treatment sessions, so why would I hire them, right? Like, we got rid of them. That's what makes it work, essentially, in the model. People always ask, like, well, how do you do it? Well, because if I treated 16 patients but I had to pay an aide, then in theory, to improve the care for 40 minutes and have 12 patients, then in theory, I don't need the aide, right?
Yeah.
So, in essence, I just found it fascinating. It probably came up half a dozen to a dozen times with students coming up to us. By far the number one question. On the flip side, I had a couple faculty come up and it was, what's the structure of your faculty, of your clinic? And you know, then we tell them it's one-on-one for 40 minutes. Do you take these students? Yep, we take students from this university. And one of the things they said is like, well, we've really pushed away from trying to send our students to, you know, places where to do people every 30 minutes. We really want them to get 40 minutes, like an hour with each patient. So it's great that you guys do that. And I just found it fascinating because I feel like there's an alignment problem to your point. We're talking about this. It's like, all right, where does the negativity around insurance come from? Right. And like, where does that negativity come from? And the reality is it's a misalignment between what faculty people are saying to their students, and students are just absorbing it, right? That's what the kids do. They just absorb. They don't have the ability to really formulate their own opinions on business models of physical therapy because they've never even been
Yeah, they
in
haven't been
there
in the
yet.
clinic.
They've been in the
Yeah.
clinic. So what I think is fascinating is, just this, like, what we're unintentionally telling students is don't work in these environments, but go get your experience in them. That's
Well,
what you're doing, right?
and that's why I think it's important to differentiate this a little bit, right? Because there's a big difference between the volunteer hours most kids need in their undergraduate, right? Versus what they need to do for a rotation. Right, a clinical
Yeah.
affiliation rotation. And I've always been a big advocate. You have these schools who say, well, we need this, we need this, we need this. And they're getting, some schools are getting $50,000 a year for kids to just go on rotations. And they say, oh, we can't find places that'll take them, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me do the math for the mills. The mills are basically saying, look, we're going to take a student and we're going to slam them because it's free labor. Right?
Yeah.
We don't even have to pay them like a tech. Let's go. So that's someone who's a physical therapy graduate student, right? But then you also look, well, they say, well, you got to get volunteer hours. You got to have observation hours. Well, a 19, 20-year-old, they got to make money, right? So what would happen if I was a 19, 20-year-old and I go to Brian and I say, I want to come into your clinic. I want volunteer hours. I want the best possible ones, 40-minute one-on-one in my neighborhood. Let's go, right? Also, I want $20 an hour because that's what the tech rate is here in Arizona.
Yep.
You'd be like, dude, I'm not paying you $20 an hour. Just sit there, right?
Yep.
So that makes sense for a business owner. And then, of course, it would make sense for me to say, well, that's nice. I'm just going to go to the place that pays, right? So people, even before they get into PT school, are incentivized to go to a mill, right? And
Totally.
then once they get into PT school, because these programs offer zero incentive for me to be that person's professor for 6 weeks or 20 weeks or whatever it is. There's not even like a, oh, you get to be, we'll pay for your APTA membership or something like that. Like they don't offer anything,
I
right?
know.
Because they know the mills will automatically fill up all their spots because that's free recruiting, right? So then but then they come to you and say, well, we'd much rather have our people with you. If I was you, I'd be like, dude, pay me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm being you. I'm being a professor for you. Like, pay me, regulate me, but pay me. And then I'm happy to take your students. And I'm sure the five other owners I know that don't want to bother with this because you're not paying shit, they will actually do this. So I
Yeah.
think it all comes down to financial incentives. And again, like you say, you're a school, you make the money, just put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, we talked about this before we started recording, right? Was you just called it straight out. You were like, it's a financial incentive. Like, students want to go and be like, hey, let me go get some experience, put it on my resume, and go get paid to do it. So you're going to go and work in an environment that you're then going to go back and you're professors are going to bash the entire time. Like, that makes no sense. Like, it's a huge disconnect in the profession. And I think it leads to why you see, and here's the thing that I've recognized. And now, having mentored and talked with a few physical therapists, obviously younger, some older, et cetera, what I think I've recognized is trying to explain to physical therapists, listen, if you think about physical therapy, like I said this line multiple times, because people ask me, what would you suggest for someone like myself who's brand new to physical therapy or going to go into physical therapy? I'd say, don't get jaded just because the first job that you take might not pan out the way you think it is, and so therefore you think that physical therapy sucks. I have seen, like, for me, my personal story, I told it all the time ago, I thought I was going to be super into outpatient and peds. I thought I was going to be really into that. Then I got in there and I realized that's just not where my passion lies. I love outpatient orthopedics, love private practice and sports, don't love peds, right? And then didn't mind geriatrics. Like, I actually kind of liked it, right? Do I want it to be primary and only geriatrics? Absolutely not. But I like that mix as well. Quite frankly, because it's easy and they always get better, right? It's that simple, right? Like it's just like where my passion is from that perspective. On the flip side, I do think that there are people that are going to have passions in different places, but you nailed it, man. These students, without telling me, is, hey, do you have any opportunity that I could work at your clinic and make some money this summer? And because in that scenario, what I would tell people is you're better off just go make as much money as you can being a day laborer somewhere, and or doing something else, and show me some fortitude elsewhere. I don't know.
Well,
I
the
just.
problem is these programs now require, X 100 hours of volunteer, quote unquote, volunteer work. Well, you tell a 19-year-old to volunteer their time while they're paying rent, food, student loans, or worried about eventually paying student loans. They're not going to do it. So this is the thing. I don't blame the kid, right? They're just doing what, I mean, Charlie Munger said, show me the incentives and I'll show you the behavior. They're doing that. Honestly, to a lot of degrees, I don't really think I blame the faculty at all because I think they are well-meaning. They do want these things, but I really do feel that probably the chair of the department who runs the finances, or at least like the provost or something of the university, has probably been said, hey, we should pay these clinical instructors more. And he's like, yeah, how about we not do that? Are they still taking our people? Do we still have places for our students? Well, yeah, they're kind of crappy mills and like everyone hates them. Yeah, but does it fulfill the requirement? Do they get their degree and they're happy in the end? Well, yeah, I guess. Cool. They pay us money. That's how we do it. Bye. So it sucks. But I mean, when you have one of the best schools in the country charging $50,000 for students to be off of the campus all year with unpaid professors, their CIs. I mean, and we're okay with
Yeah, I know, I know.
it.
I'm
You
actually
know,
gonna look
like.
up what's the average cost of PT school.
I know here USC it's like 50 grand. That was the thing. I had a student from USC and I was like, you still have to pay for this whole year that you're not at the classroom, right? She's like, well, yeah. I'm like, how much do you talk to your professor? She's like, I don't know, once a week, not even, like once every 3 weeks. And I was
And that's,
like, so what you're
yeah.
saying is I'm doing 50 grand. What's 50 grand divided by the 3 months that you're here? Well, why am I not getting $15,000 for this?
It's a great, honestly. Here's the thing that you're blowing my mind. I never even thought about it this way, but you are 100% right. How are you, like, for
It's
a clinical?
because they
How,
can.
yeah, like, to give you the
I
point, like, that's it's funny, man. I was walking around the school and I was like, God, this school is beautiful. And like,
mean.
to answer this, right? So, tuition only for the average cost of PT school, $30,000 to $50,000 per year for lower end. So that's a like. Total program cost 90 to 150K. Then lower, if you're looking at the lower end private programs, 90 to 120K. High end private programs, 170 to 200K. Whew.
All for an $80,000 a year entry level
Yeah,
job,
I know.
right?
And the reality is that's why I think like a lot of these things, like the public in-state stuff, 60K to 100K. K, then private is 120K to 180K. And what's happening is the public in-state schools are becoming more competitive than some of these other schools.
Super good. Well, I tell every person I know, try and get in-state. And the cheapest possible way to get your degree. And I mean that, and that's the thing is you hear about all this stuff like, oh, you know, colleges are closing across the US. Like, yeah, Green Mountain State in Vermont, that's highest level degree was an English bachelor. Like, yes. Ithaca College, for some, honestly, on some parts of it, Ithaca is on that borderline of like, it's not massive, you know, where we went to school, but it's also not, you know, it's not doing too bad. But you know, those are getting in the 30, 40, probably 50,000 by this point. But then you
Oh,
have
it's more
like
than
your
that,
U,
dude. It's more than
well, and
that.
that, oh, I'm sure, yeah, because you teach there. But then like USC, Wash U, Northwestern, Columbia, they don't need that money. You know what I
Man.
mean? Like, but they're taking it because they can, right? And when you are looking at it and saying, wait, we have money here that we can take because we can. Versus the other option of making this one PT professor and this podcast happy and also losing fit. Why would we do that? That's stupid. Anyway, we're just going to take the money and go. It's going to have to be a bottom falling out moment, right? It's going to have to
For
be something
sure.
where everybody in PT says, fuck you, pay me, right? And then the schools basically come down to like, oh, we literally can't graduate our students now, right? Is that going to happen? No, because you're going to have an Athletico, an ATI, USPT, a PRN that's going to be like, oh, no, we'll take all those students. And I'm like, oh, fantastic. Here you go. Take them all. So that's what I'm saying is when your neurology professor for PT is saying, oh, my God, I can't believe you see people with at this time, that person's probably legitimately like, oh, my God, finally. You know?
Well, and here's what's interesting, man. So I just thought about this. Now this is why I love ChatGPT. It's so awesome. So I just did like UConn, for instance, like the UConn DPT program, right? And I gotta double check ChatGPT on this because I think UConn has a DPT program, but I gotta double check that because we haven't had anybody in a while. So I'm gonna just double check it. But It says minimum to apply 3.0 GPA. So if that's an 85, right, to give you an idea
Yeah.
off the bat, right? Typical accepted students, 3.3 plus GPA. Now remember, this is UConn, in state, in a state school, which, like, I don't know about you, Owen, when you
3.3 in
think about,
ASU, they're building a statue
you see what I'm saying? So just so we're clear,
to
most state schools have the stigma of not being strong as private, but this is what's happening because of cost. So this is kind
you.
of fascinating to me. Is like again, this may be a whole separate podcast itself. I might be veering us off here, but when it goes, but 3.3 is the average. Is not the average. It's more like you're in the conversation. Realistically, competitive is 3.5 plus. Strong applicant is 3.6 to 3.8. 3.8 plus, you're cruising, assuming the rest is in a dumpster fire. So again, if you think about that, 3.8 plus, that used to be like, all right, now we're talking the
We're talking med
Harvard,
school
the
at that point.
yeah, man.
No, well, that's it. And that's what I think the problem is that we're sitting here and
Yes.
saying to someone who's a three, say, I remember when DO school, now again, this was in New York, and New York is very anti-osteopathy. It's different all over the country, but it used to be like med school, 3.6, osteopath and dentist school, 3.3, right? It was just, so if you're saying now 3.6 for PT school, right? That was never the case for us.
Yeah, for
I'd
sure.
like to think you and I are relatively smart, but like we weren't like keeping that level, right? So, and that's again, as we go back to like, what are these kids seeing? What is the whole like, insurance equals a mill? I do think it starts from, I don't want to say birth because that's like really weird, but like birth in the profession is
Yeah.
that this is what they're coming up against, right? Where
For
they're
sure.
saying the only way I can make money and get my required volunteer hours is to go to a place that doesn't give a shit. And then the only options I have to me of people that will take students and can financially do that, right, are also bills,
For
right? So
sure.
then they get and they graduate and then they go on Reddit and then they tell everybody how crappy insurance is and you got to take cash. And it's honestly mostly because they just haven't lived either in a good insurance clinic or they haven't actually done cash yet because it's, obviously we all know cash has its pitfalls. So that's where I think the initial start for a lot of people is that. Now we can also talk about, just the social media aspect of it, right? About how I think, honestly, what is it? What's the old saying? Like, you never go online and tell somebody about a good slice of pizza you had. You go
Yeah,
and
I
you leave a
know.
review for a bad one, right? So I feel like the negative voices are the most amplified, the ones who are so pissed off that they're just going to sit on Reddit for hours, just like replying to comments, right?
Yeah.
I think the general overwhelming amount of PTs are like reasonably happy with their job and how much it affords them in life, right? But it's also very convenient to say, everything sucks, you're awful, give me a pay raise, right? How many times have we seen people say, oh, I don't love this, in our mentorship group, I don't love how we have our God, I don't know, it's they see too many patients and they're too this and they're too that, and then they go and interview at a cash practice, get an offer, and then leverage that offer with the same mill that they were just bitching about for a 5% raise, so it's always very convenient as a way of
Yeah,
pitching,
man.
but then it becomes down to, yeah, but I just got like $4,000, so I'm good.
And I think honestly, man, like one of the things that I've recognized is like we talked about this on social media, and I think it's this kind of combination. Well, it's like anything in this world, right? It's this combination of factors that are complex that create a complex problem. So it's not like there's one thing in particular that can be fixed. So like, we talked about the angle with schools, right? So like, all right, we're gonna confuse students and really make them ideologic about where they should work and what they should do and make them feel bad if they don't do it. And therefore we're gonna demonize certain things and we're gonna put things in buckets and we're gonna generalize and we're not gonna give specific type of examples of good business models or not good business models because we don't know it if we're in a faculty, right? So that's one problem. Then the other side of it is then you go on social media and these kids have access to social media along with us, and everybody's negative about everything that there is to do about anything. And the reality of the major money grab opportunities now is the coaching side of things, right? Like, I'll coach you on how to do X, Y, or Z thing. I mean, listen, it's why you and I started a podcast, right? Like full transparency to those listening, Physio Growth and the idea behind like, hey, let's do a business so we can actually help people, you know what I mean? Was like born for the idea of we saw the opportunity if we could help people in mentorship of that side, right? And so the to
Well, and
call it
that's it.
out.
We see people with like 5 years experience. They opened a cash PT. They're the only one in town. They made a better living than they would have as a new grad. And then they go and they say, well, yeah, for only $7,000 a year, I can coach you too.
I
And there is
just,
benefit. There is benefit
yeah.
in that. But my God, this is why we keep it for
Totally.
$100,
I
right? We just
exactly.
want it to be
I think
a
that's the difference,
resource.
right? Me and Owen talked about like this, like let's be ideological. Let's try and help as many people as we can and just do $99 a month. So therefore then people can come in and talk to us and we can help all sorts of different problems, keep it really cost effective, and we don't feel like we're adding to this problem of shysters. I mean, literally, I mean, I got the it's the same fucking email that I've gotten from one of these types of people, these coaches out there that are very prominent in the community. I treated 43 patients a day once, so that's the worst. It's like, all right, I get that you went to one, you had one tough day in insurance-based thing, but you keep making it the narrative of your entire life in insurance-based physical therapy. And that's a joke, right? Like companies like ours who do it really, really well. Like there's cash-based physical therapists out there that I'm sure have like I have plenty of people that have come back to me with shitty experiences in that realm. So I just think in general, like we're not paying attention to some of these trends, and it's becoming clearer and clearer to me as to what some of the problems and as to why. And it's like anything, there's no silver bullet to fix all of these things. It's just there's lots of different answers to the little pieces of the problem. And it comes back to like, all right, what's the why? What are we trying to do? What am I trying to do with my career? How am I trying to get better at this thing? All right, cool. Then this is the job I should take. And then if like, you know, in a year, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, whatever, you're like, I don't love this problem or this is another issue, I want to try something different. All right, cool, then you make a move. But it's not like one thing or the other. I think that's the problem that's happening is there's so mentorship. It's almost like the Spider-Man quote, Owen. With great power comes great responsibility, right? Like in general,
God.
if you're gonna be a mentor, don't be a bad mentor, be a good one, right? And like really lead with ethics and help and like actually get people in there. And I think the problem is there's plenty of that stuff on social media that's like bad shit, bad mentors.
Marcus Aurelius, Patrick Henry, Spider-Man.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the idea.
There you go.
So
The great orators of our time.
exactly.
But I mean, that's the thing though, is if this podcast is one thing, it's a glimmer of light in a foggy sky, right?
Yeah.
It's like, look, you know, if you were to the amount of people that are on social media that take the time to go on there and spend time making these posts and all that, it's got to be a small percentage of the population, but it's a megaphone, right? And that's what the social media stuff is. So I think that if you were to look and say, okay, what's our problem as a profession in the next 10 years? I think this is a contagion, man. Like this is something where, you know, it's not that bad yet. Like there are still private practice that are making a good margin, seeing 12, 13 patients in an 8 hour day, right? And depending on how you schedule, I know you guys do 40 minutes, but there's some that they schedule for an hour and they're overlapping, right? But they're overlapping an ACL with a knee replacement. Like, it's not that hard, right? It's not that you don't need that deep level of compassion. Now, again, if you have a complex back pain, yeah. But we're sitting here saying everything's terrible. And it's like, dude, it can be way worse. All they
Totally.
got to do is just call Brian up and say, yeah, we're cutting your rates 5%. We're going to do it every year for the next 5 years. And then all of
Totally.
a sudden, Brian says, well, there goes the one-on-one model I was fighting so hard to do because I can't turn the lights on. So yeah, I mean, it's tough, but it could get much tougher. And I mean, sadly, I think it probably will. But just yeah, if you're listening to this, just realize that it's not as bad as it seems on social media.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing I would say is there's always ways to offset certain problems, and there's always ways to make things more effective from a business perspective. It has nothing to do with whether you take insurance or not. It has not, like I just think there's things that we're blaming things about. It has
It's
nothing
almost
to
always your owner.
well, that's not a bad way to put it. More so, I think what it is it's the fact that there's so many people screaming into microphones nowadays. I mean, look, including ourselves. But the
Yeah,
reality of
we're here.
what happens is I think that there's just so much noise out there. So unfortunately, people don't know what the heck to listen to. And I get it. Totally get it. right? But it's a challenge when you go through the process that we're going through and talk to the people they're talking to, and then you realize little nuances. I think the issue becomes, like I said, it's the fact that people aren't taking it serious enough, and they're attacking. There's too many different problems. It's like a boat with all these leaky holes in it. Everybody's trying to stick their thumb in one of them, and it's like another one pops up. So the problem is, it's like we got. And then again, the narrative just has to get better. It has to get better around how can physical therapy school get cheaper? How can reimbursement rates go up so people get paid more? How can Medicare improve? How can mentorship get better? How can the model get easier? There's just a lot around that. So it's very fascinating in that way.
My first step as president will not be to start another APTA or USPTA or whatever it is. My first thing is to get everyone in a room together and start telling these schools, pay us to take your students.
I
Because
honestly, not for nothing.
if all they have is ATI and like, and again, I'm sorry if you're the CEO of ATI, listen to this, but dude, it's your rep. But if all they have is that to offer their students, oh, I went to Duke. Whoa, where'd you go? Paducah, Kentucky, ATI. That's the only option I have. I'm not paying $50,000 for this.
Not for nothing, Owen. I actually think it's a great idea. I think it's a
There you
great to your
go.
point about like because like if you
Owen
think
Ford,
about it,
president.
what I love about that is, I mean, again, like to your point, and again, this is such a great concept, but the idea of like why don't universities pay affiliations? Because let's put it this way. All right, let's do the math. Say to Owen's point, all right, and this way the colleges can still make money. So the professors are taking final year students, or whatever, and they're on an affiliation. So for that semester, I pay $25,000, or I
And
pay,
remember, these are PT school professors. They're not getting paid that much more in the private sector. Just
So
telling
let's say that. So
these
say
aren't
they get
rocket
paid. So
scientists.
let's take it. All right. So say a student goes on three affiliations in a year. It's $50,000 for tuition. Say they paid $5,000 to each clinic that was taken, like took a student. Number one, you're right. People would chomp it at the bits on it. Until imagine if I took 10 students. So if I took 10 students, that's actually 50K into our clinic. So essentially, they're still making out like a bandit because they're just taking 35K. They're doing really no work. And essentially, like the imagine the cash flow that would happen into physical therapy. What's the instant thing that would get better? PT salaries would naturally go up because it's a cash-based system. Very fascinating idea. But and again, I had never thought about it until Owen brought it up. But I think it's a really good point.
I will say the
I hear a
person who
LinkedIn rant
I've
coming.
read, I know, right? Well,
You got to do it. Do it.
Nick Hoops is a really interesting follow if you follow him. He's a PT in Ohio, and he works, I don't know what is if he's got equity or whatever, but he worked for a clinic that basically took everything, Medicaid, and it's a low income area, or not low, but middle of the road rural area. And he's just like, why the hell am I not getting paid? And he did a rant on it
Yeah.
like 6 months ago or something. And I was like,
So good. He's
yeah.
100% right. He's
Yeah.
100% right. I totally agree with that. It's awesome.
All right, well, there we go. We'll end it on that.
Cool.
If you
I
made it this
like
far in the episode, my campaign contributions can be sent to my
it. Then my
Venmo.
own $5. It was that
There you
guy.
go.
I like that
Oh, we need a lot more, Brian. I need a
guy. I know.
jet.
I know.
My time is valuable. All right. All right,
Listen.
buddy, we are out.
Sounds good, man. See ya.
See ya.